Yeah, so we saw that the Olam Hazeh is the oil of Hochmah. The world values of the world without Torah is Hochmah, upside down. It gives full value to Olam Hazeh, things that don't last, they don't even last in one's own lifetime. Kabbalah Torah, after he passes from the world, they all remain behind. And people put all their energy into it. There's a cute story in one of the papers, Hatoya and Maskia. I looked inside and I read the paper. So, but I have this story I heard, so I can imagine. Rabbi Zara, before he was lifted, said that he's the richest person in the world because he's one of the only, or maybe the only person that there's nothing in the world that he doesn't have that he's missing. He has everything here. He's not lacking anything. So that's the story. There's a story 2 years ago, 10 years ago, I don't know, more than 10 years ago, 20 years ago, whatever it was. It's like 20 years ago. And Rav Shaman went to one of these guys in goes to America to meet all the wealthy people and collect money. And he said, he told him, I will give you $1 million if you find somebody out there in America is more wealthy than I am. Basically, said the same type of idea. And they showed him his refrigerator. He said, look, I have all I need over here. Some compote, cooked apples, and some breadcrumbs. I'm not lacking anything. He said, in his sense of humor, there was a very extremely wealthy person in Russia before the war. It's a Wysotsky. And people were very poor in Russia. Most average person didn't eat meat at all, not even on Shabbos. A wealthy person, they didn't eat on Shabbos, and extremely wealthy, ate every day. So they asked these real, extremely wealthy people that meet every day, what do you do for Shabbos? So they said, Shabbos, they add some compote, some cooked apples. So they said, I'm better off than eat. They eat compote every day. Okay. Anyway, this guy was going around America, and one of the times in America, Rabbi Ulzar, I was also up there in America. He bumped into him and told his mice was a guy with a garlic. So Rabbi Ulzar said, oh, he may have to pay $1 million, because I think I'm more wealthy than him. I'm also not lacking anything, but I also appreciate more what it means not to have that stuff that he doesn't have. Because I had everything, all the little matters, and I stand as better as a family. And okay, and then a few minutes later, because I told him, no, I think he's not going to have to pay up. He said, the way I see him sitting on his bed, he didn't, finally didn't have a chair, he's sitting on his bed, those sitting upright. He said, you can tell that he's a person who's sitting constantly, Shavis Hashem like yourself. He was not sitting in front of a Kodesh Bo. He was not even scratched over him. He said, a person who can't be skilled and look at Kodesh Bo, he's more wealthy than I am. I'll go find that the oil and boil. That's what the Gemara said. That a true Talmud Chacham, he lives in oil and boil. And that's our goal in life, to try to get the oil more boil and less awful. We may not have the tzaddikim that we had in the previous stories, but at every door, we have this ability to get to a level of clarity, no matter how deep we are sinking into our goals. And then Dafka is the first like Guru Sahib was a very good example of it. He was as deep as he can get entrenched in that work of Olam Hazeh, and he had all the power in the world, and all the pleasures in the world, and all the fame and everything, and he was able to get out of it. Of course, he had also one of the Nakuda there, and the Nakuda of Emes. He could not stand up against Emes. He was presented with the Emes, he just gave in. So the Ina Torah is also, when you're learning a Gemara, it's also not just to get to the end of the Gemara, it's to clarify what is the Emes that is being given out in this piece of Gemara. Rabbi Sol Talanta said, "A ma'ase kodim l'machshav. A ma'ase is before the thought. A limud kodim l'ma'ase. What does that mean? K
Knias Dake Lima for Pesach Likonis the Dake Vayis Jemis Loch.
So Lima Atoya, and we do, if we do it properly, it not only gives us the Keshkat of the book, the Torah itself, but it opens up a Mahalot of approaching life together to realize that everything in life is a Suri. Like, I heard the shame of Aaron Kuffler that he said, a wife is a sugi. It's a sugi that you have to learn your entire life. But if you don't look at it that way, you say, oh, my wife is my wife, and sometimes it works out good, sometimes it doesn't work out good. No. Something always to pay attention to understand better what is good for her, what's not good for her. You may not focus on what's good for her. The same thing with the children. Every child is a sugi. Not just things we have to put up with. That's a tragedy of our generation. People are lazy. So instead of dealing with the kids, I put them in front of the screen or give them a gadget, and everything is quiet. But really what they are doing is they're estranging the children. They're giving a message to the kids that you don't interest me. But then afterwards they're upset why the kids don't respect them, don't feel close to them. The whole life they're just running away from the kids because they don't want to waste their time on them. That's also the sugi of Sahai. So we have family, each one's a sugi, to try to see where their strong points and how to them. If you have to guide them in a way to awaken dangers. That's also, you know, to run their own lives, that's sugi of Sahai. To recognize their own minds and our purpose and use them as best they can. And not get caught up with the confusion. But the regimen of leaving that third of the eon is the thing that changes one's life, because when a person starts approaching things in such a fashion, then he has a different way of approaching everything in life. What happened to Lillian Abdullah is a person who was learning Kurdish for 2 years and now, working for the government. And he told me that when he was going through different courses, levels of secular education, he saw that he was way ahead of everybody else because he had a completely different way of approaching things. It wasn't just amassing information, but just trying to understand what was going on. Come upon, you don't always get it right. But, externally, right? Leave it as the Vayyid Hashem. Like we said before, and that type of person sometimes spends weeks and months and months again just to get clear. Sometimes it goes quickly, sometimes it goes slow, but it's all, there's no timeline. It's all going on to have clear or not. And this is the way the person gets more and more clarity, whether it be the clarity of the halachas, the actual halachas, which is also a way to approach halachic, advantage of every situation, and the chalal. The chol yom ha-shazil tamas terekitation. That's a special gift. Zoi sadayu odim ki yom ha-zoi neighbors ha-zoi. Neighbors ha-zoi. It's hundreds of shokim of neighbors ha-zoi. And the Rebbe was saying now is, was saying that the Gemara and Talmud says that Alexander the Great asked the Chachamim, how does a person come to life? And he said, make this happen. How does a person come to death? And the Atma. And that's what he explained to him. This is the idea. If the Atma means his mundane physical drives, if he's Mechayah and he puts all his energy into them, then he's maiming himself, he's killing himself, because that part of himself is the second we're born is already dying. He's putting his whole energy into a dying creature. Whereas the other way around, the person made this out of him, means he limits himself. He recognizes the things dead as a little bit of time in his purpose than just putting it only into physical time. I'm glad. The person does have to take care of his physical time. If the person neglects it, then he'll back up. Like you know the famous line, it's better to eat well and think about Torah than to eat too little and think about food totally. But, yeah, and that's all the things. So we have to be involved in the physical side of ourselves, but it's also part of our Hashem. That's part of the oil bor. Oil bor means that clarity. I'm made up of many parts: my physical, emotional, intellectual, neshama, and I spend my life clarifying how to give everything what it needs, not less than what it needs, not more than what it needs, to the things that bring me to higher, to the great heights of my greatness. Yes, for the purpose. Okay, we should have a wonderful week ahead of us. And yes, time flies with us. I'm stopping around. It's a beautiful thing. You go to a wedding hall and take back that door. You could, when you're standing on one foot, you can get four more footers at the same time. I was doing that once, and I initially said, what's going on? You know, you should have. I said, no. Oh, you show me, boy, you do the blue face, afterwards, everybody. So, we go from all angles. You can hear that. It's interesting. Well, part of the important thing is to focus on all the good things that we have. And the prayer that gives purpose to be some level of Kegel, and then same for Kegel, because we also Shabbat of the Lamb. Yes, it's next week, I will not be here. We have things for us.